Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I am Ken Tuck, and I'm very happy you've joined me this morning. Today we are going to conclude our series on disciple making. This will be part four. Now, for those of you who know me well, you know I will be teaching more on discipleship in later broadcasts, but for this series, this will wrap it up this morning. And the first three parts, if you haven't listened to them, if you've missed one or two or whatever, you can listen to them on our podcast. And you can find our podcast at loveinaction.podbean.com. That's loveinaction.podbean.com. And you can also subscribe to the Love in Action podcast on Apple Podcasts, so you can get caught up there. But before we get into today's message, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Father God, what an honor and privilege it is to come to you in prayer. Just the fact that we can communicate with the Most High God, God Almighty, the Creator of this world, is just mind-blowing. God, thank you. Thank you for your word, and we get to open up your word and read and study and hear everything that you want to tell us, Lord. And you give us everything that we need right here in the Bible. Your word, your living word. Jesus, you are the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's you, Jesus. And thank you for coming here to earth. Thank you for living that perfect life that we can't. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for rising again and give all who believe eternal life. Lord, we praise you. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for everyone who's listening. Lord, you know each and every need that's represented. I just pray, God, that you would meet each one of those needs. And Lord, that anyone who's listening who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today will be the day they call out to you and make the greatest decision of their lives. So, Father, we just give you this time. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. And may we be doers of your word and not hearers only. And again, we just give you all praise, honor, and glory, and we love you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In part one of this series on disciple making, we talked about go. That's the first commandment that Jesus gives us in the Great Commission is to go. We have to go and tell people about him. Part two, we shared six main points of the Great Commission. Part three, I talked about baptism. The importance of baptism, why we should be baptized, when we should be baptized, who should do the baptizing. That was part three. Today, part four of disciple making, we are going to talk about teaching them all I have commanded you. And that's part of the Great Commission. And let's go ahead and read the Great Commission. That's our key verse for this entire series. And that's out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we're going to focus on that part where Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's our focus today. Pastor Ralph Sigler of Harvest Church here in Dothan wrote five phases of discipleship. And I'm going to quote him some today as we talk about making disciples, teaching them all I have commanded you. At the beginning of phase one, Ralph writes, "When Jesus walked the earth, he called people to leave everything and follow him. He's still calling people to do that. He calls us to follow him, and to do so requires commitment, devotion, and discipline. As a disciple, you do not simply make Jesus part of your life. He becomes the main focus of your life. He becomes your identity. When you devote your life to following him with a whole heart, he transforms you into the person he created you to be." And that's Jesus. He creates us to be the person he has called us to be. He created us to be when we truly do what he tells us to, and that's to follow him. And as we talk about disciple making, I don't want to give you the wrong impression that it's something easy, because it's not. Jesus doesn't call us to an easy life. He tells us the exact opposite. But I'm here to tell you it's the greatest life, because I've lived without Jesus and I've lived with Jesus, and I'll take living with Jesus any day, no matter how hard it may be. It's the greatest life there is, the most rewarding life there is, and eternally we'll be with him forever and ever. So it is worth the cost, and we're going to talk about the cost a little bit later. But the Great Commission, as I like to say, it is the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. The Great Commission must become a lifestyle. It has to be a way of life for us. It's not just a church event or an outreach. It's a lifestyle. And this is how Jesus trained his disciples. He taught them the word, and he trained them through living out the word in front of them. He taught them how to serve others. Therefore, we must serve others. So Jesus sets the example for us, and he shows us how to go, how to baptize, how to make disciples. And Jesus discipled a small group of people. Remember, he called 12 men, and we know 11 ended up truly following him because Judas ended up betraying him. But this small group of men, Jesus taught, and then he told them to go and make disciples who can do the same. And really powerful verse on disciple making is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And this is Paul writing to his disciple, Timothy. And he says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, so they will be able to teach others also." Paul is saying, Timothy, I've taught you, but you can't reach everybody by yourself, just like I can't reach everybody by myself. And so I've taught you. Now you need to teach others who are faithful, who will carry out this great commission and will be able to go and teach others. That's why at Love in Action, we call it training for trainers, T for T, a wonderful disciple-making process. And it's just that. It's people who have gone through the training program, the training method, and are now training others to be able to do the same so we can go out and make disciples. Now, there's some important definitions, and Pastor Ralph points this out in the first phase of discipleship. First definition is disciple. It's a Greek word meaning learner. So a disciple means we're learning. We're learning about Jesus. We're learning how to live like Jesus. We're learning how to follow Jesus. We're learning how to make disciples. Second definition is Jesus' disciples. Jesus called them to follow him, and he would teach them. And so he's calling us, too, to follow him, and his word will teach us. A Christian disciple is both a follower and a learner of Jesus. So we're going to follow him. We're going to learn from him. And the word discipleship means one maturing believer helping another believer mature, so he in turn will be able to help other believers mature. So it's a disciple who can make disciples. And that's the plan. That's the goal of the Great Commission, is we have to go out and tell people about Jesus. We need to baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach them all that Jesus has taught us. That's discipleship. It doesn't stop at just going and telling people about Jesus. We need to continue and make them disciples, followers of Christ. And a beautiful thing about discipleship is when you start looking at how it multiplies. And that's how the first church, we read about it in the book of Acts, did. They made disciples who made disciples, and it kept going through generations to now it's reached you and me, and we need to keep the disciple-making process going. And Ralph points out in phase one of his discipleship book about multiplication through discipleship, and it's exciting when you read about it. And I'm just going to quote him right here. He writes, "Imagine you were the only Christian in the world. How would you fulfill the Great Commission given by Jesus? Let's suppose you lead one person to Christ and spend 6 months teaching him or her how to know Jesus and follow him. Then the two of you each lead another person to Christ and spend 6 months teaching them. There are now four disciples. If the four of you each lead another person to Christ and spend 6 months teaching them, and if these eight each lead another person to Christ, in 2 years there will be 16 Christians. Now continue that process of making disciples, and in 16 and a half years, the number of disciples will reach over 8.6 billion people, which is well over the population of this world. So that's amazing. If you simply look at it that way, you just start reaching one person for Jesus, you make a disciple, then you both reach another person, and you just see how the multiplication process works. And in 16 and a half years, we could reach the entire world. Now, we understand not everybody's going to become a believer. But the amazing thing is that you, being the only Christian in the world, as our example talked about, only have to disciple 33 people. And only a few of those billions of people would even know your name until you got to heaven. So the multiplication process does not include preachers or televangelists. This is just a Christian following our Lord's instructions to make disciples. And you see what can happen. And if we just make one disciple, just start out making one disciple, because many people haven't. That's just the truth of the matter. But we all can, because Acts 1:8 tells us, as Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus says he's given us the power by sending us the Holy Spirit. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us to fulfill this great commission, to be his witnesses throughout everywhere we live at and throughout this world, wherever he sends us. So we just got to do it. It just takes that first step. And the point is, the Great Commission, as we looked at the multiplication process, can actually be completed in a short amount of time if we would all do our part. And we all have amazing influence through discipleship. And God can use us to reach literally thousands of people by making a disciple of a handful of people. So just start doing it. And let God start working through you. Start telling people about Jesus. And as they come to Christ, baptize them and start making disciples. We need to teach believers. When we talk about making disciples, we need to teach new believers about prayer and how to pray, what to pray about. We need to teach new believers about reading and studying the Word of God, memorizing Scripture. We need to teach them about serving like Jesus did. And we can just walk them through the Gospels and show how Jesus served others. We need to teach them about fellowship with other believers and why it is important to surround ourselves with other believers who are disciples of Christ and who are making disciples. We need to teach them about corporate worship and why that's important, and so on throughout, you know, just teach them about this life that we get to live for Jesus. It's a choice. It's our choice. But what an awesome choice it is, and what an awesome life it is to live for Jesus. And we just need to tell them about it. We can tell people, it seems like, about all kind of different things. We can teach people about sports. We can teach people music. We can teach people to read and write and just anything and everything. But the most important thing we can teach them is about Jesus and how to live for him. One thing that we have to understand, and we need to make sure those that we are discipling or training understands, is we have to count the cost. Because it's not the easiest life there is when we follow Jesus. He tells us that. But the great thing is that he's with us, and he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And he is with us to the end of the age. So we are not left alone in this walk. No matter if family and friends abandon us, Jesus never will. But we have to count the cost. Jesus tells us about some of those costs in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. Let's read that. Mark 10, verses 17 through 31. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up to him, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So Jesus is saying it's not easy to enter the kingdom of God, especially if you have wealth. And if we're an American, which I'm sure everybody listening to this is, unless streaming on the World Wide Web, you could be on another part of the world listening to this, but most people are Americans, and we are very wealthy compared to most of this world. Even those of us who, by American terms, don't have a lot of money compared to our brothers and sisters in third world countries, we are very wealthy. And one reason why it's hard is that it's so easy to depend on our wealth. We've got to depend on God. When we make the decision to come to Jesus, chances are we're going to lose some friends. We may even lose some family members. But Jesus says we're going to receive so much more. But the great thing is, some of those friends and family members we lose at first will come to know Jesus, because they will see him in us, and they will eventually want what we have, because they'll see the peace and the love and the joy that's in us. And what an awesome honor it is when you're able to lead a family member and a friend to Christ and make a disciple of them. So the cost of following Jesus is great. It costs you everything. We follow him completely, wholly, not holding anything back. But it is so worth it. Jesus gave us everything. He gave us everything so we can live forever with him in heaven. He gave us everything. Don't you think he deserves for us to give him everything? We got distractions and different things that try to take our attention away from Jesus in this world. We are so busy with all kind of things, from social media to television to sports, entertainment. We can become workaholics. We can be busy doing good things, but we got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. And those things that he wants us to do, some of those are telling others about him and making disciples. And through it all, a great thing that happens is something else that God wants to take place in our lives, and that's for us to become closer to him, to get to know him better and better. Because, see, Jesus brought us back into fellowship with the Father. and we get to learn more about Him. We get to grow in our relationship with Him. And as we make disciples, our relationship with Him grows even more. And so as we teach people to make disciples, we're actually growing ourselves in God. Some other things about being a disciple of Christ is we need to love each other. We have to love each other. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we don't quarrel, we don't gossip, we don't backstab or backbite, we love. And Jesus says, people will know we're His disciples when we have love for one another. And when people see His love and they experience His love, then they want to know, where's this love come from? And we get to tell them where and who, and that's Jesus. As disciples, we must be obedient to the commands of Jesus. We need to be in unity and fellowship with one another. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 46. Just an awesome picture of the first church, the first group of believers, followers of Christ. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." That's just such an awesome picture of the first church and how we should be. We're the body of Christ, fellow believers, fellow followers of Christ. And when we're living in unity, like He tells us to do with Him and with each other, awesome things happen. We read about they were breaking bread together. Oftentimes that's partaking in the Lord's Supper together. Other times it's just, hey, come over and eat. Let's strap on the feed bag and let's eat some together and let's fellowship. Let's hang out. And iron sharpens iron, so we get to teach one another while we're hanging out. We can share the word with one another and just enjoy the Lord's company, enjoy each other's company. And they prayed together. And they were worshiping, praising God together. And God was adding new believers day by day. And that's what's so awesome. New believers were coming into the kingdom day by day, every day. And that's how it should be today. And a disciple of Christ, we need to have some certain characteristics. And we just read about some of those of loving one another and being obedient to Jesus, following His commands, serving one another. Another characteristic is this in John chapter 15, verses 7 through 8. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So another characteristic is bearing fruit. In other words, we're sharing Jesus. We're doing the evangelism part, as we talked about in the first part of this series about going. We go and we tell people about Jesus. And as we teach them the commands of Christ, and teach them how to live for Christ, teach them how to make other disciples, then we're bearing fruit. And that shows that we are disciples of Jesus. If we're not bearing fruit, then how can we be disciples of Christ? Because He says this proves that we're disciples of His. And so we need to be making disciples who can make disciples. Christ's disciples have God's word dwelling in them. And therefore, that's how we do bear much fruit, because we have His word in us. His word is deep in our hearts, not just in our minds, but deep into our hearts, written on our hearts. Jesus clearly tells us we must love, pray for, and do good to our enemies. Not just to each other, but to our enemies, which is totally counterculture, right? Because in this world, if you have an enemy, then the world teaches you, you got to get that enemy back. You got to go after them and do harm to them. But Jesus tells us to do the exact opposite. And let's look at that in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. Jesus speaking here, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Wow, that's pretty tough, isn't it? But he's in us. His power's in us. So we can love our enemies. We can do good to those who hate us. We can bless those who curse us and pray for those who abuse us. Continuing on in verse 29, "To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the great ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." That's a lot. We could just talk 30 minutes just on that scripture right there. But to summarize that, Jesus tells us not to be like the world, but to love our enemies, pray for them, do good to them, and be merciful, even as our Father is merciful. But we are coming to the end of today's message and the end of this series. And again, if you haven't listened to all four parts of this series, you can go back on our podcast at loveinaction.podbean.com and listen to all four messages. And if you have any questions about making disciples or about giving your life to Jesus, any questions at all, please feel free to email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. Or you can call our office at 334-494-4995. That's 334-494-4995. Thank you again for joining me this morning as we wrap up our disciple-making series. Now let's go out and let's reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples who can make disciples. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.